As we come to your word, help us to appreciate what you have written down for us today. Speak to our hearts in a way that we need to be spoken to, so that we could hear from you and be inspired to follow you with love and in grace. And Lord, obediently doing what you command us to do, so that we can experience more fully the joy of being your servants. Help us see you, help us see Christ, and walk toward you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. According to the studies that have been done on it by a number of different groups, to be a follower of Jesus Christ will add somewhere between 6 to 10 years to your life. Yeah. Apparently, it's a great life decision to trust Christ. Now, it doesn't exempt us from every dilemma. And it doesn't exempt us sometimes even from shortened lives. But on the whole, to be a follower of Christ adds from 6 to 10 years to your life. For no other reason than that, I would say it's a good decision. It's not going to change your eternity in terms of length of days, because we're all going to live forever. But where we live is absolutely determined by how and who we follow. You might think that the Proverbs, as they're written, are just a collection of things that are for another day or for another situation. But is the instruction from a book like Proverbs that in part helps determine how we live and then how life goes. It is my contention that as we discover what the Proverbs have to say to us, we open ourselves up to the potential for a much better, longer life. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you." So the first of these things in discovering how to live well, we should say that, like the son being spoken to here, we need to learn how to align ourselves with the commandments or the mitzvah of God. When a young Jewish boy passes from his adolescence into manhood, they call it a bar mitzvah, because he passes from an age of innocent learning to becoming a son of the commandments, or an adult who is living according to the law of God. There's a lot that we get to say about being a child and the hopefully carefree days that a child ought to live in. But there comes a point where you've got to leave childish ways behind and you've got to embrace adulthood. There is nothing quite so out of whack as somebody who is along in years a while, who still lives as if they're just a child. We are called to live according to the commandments of God. It's one of the reasons, one of the instructions given is to teach those commandments to the children, to bind them on their hearts and on their lives and on their doorposts and the character of their homes. It's to instruct them into the law so that they will know how to live then as adults. Don't forget my teaching, it says, wisdom calling out again. Don't forget it. We are awash in a world that wants to call all the instructions of God into question. Instructions about how to be married. Instructions about how to use your finances. Instructions about how to conduct yourself as an employee. Instructions after instructions after instructions that are in the Bible that so many people say, oh, that's such a burdensome thing to apply to me. And yet, life and long life goes with aligning yourself with the mitzvah of God, the teachings, the commandments of God. Life and peace go with that. And that doesn't mean that there will never be a day when you experience angst. There are days that just don't seem like they fit together right. But taken on a whole, Christians live in a much more peaceful state of mind. Why would that be? Well, one of the reasons would be that we're trusting Jesus for our eternity. I don't have to worry about where I'm going to reside when I pass away. I always think a funeral is a great blessing to us when somebody who knows the Lord has passed. So when I reflect on Don Holmes's recent passing, I rejoice for him. Because I know that when he woke up in eternity, he saw his Savior. And even though Don and the rest of us go through trials of life, there's no way out of them. The promise of eternity can leave us with a sense of peace. But even in the conduct of our daily lives, we know the presence of God is a help to us along the way. We do face these difficulties. We do have questions that make us wonder what to do. There's always this sense of now, not yet within Christianity. We haven't yet experienced the fullness of Christ, but He is with us now. And He does give us peace in the moments. I'm led to the story of a soldier during the Civil War, when the mortality rates of the soldiers then was, well, it was awful. And one soldier with another soldier beside him in the midst of a battle noted how calm and seemingly serene his fellow comrade was. And even amidst the din, he couldn't help but ask, "How can you be so calm?" And he said, "Well, I know that if a bullet catches me, Christ will catch me too." It's a good line. In life, if troubles catch you, know that Christ is catching you too. To align ourselves with the mitzvah is a summary way to put, my son, do not forget my teaching. But let your heart keep my commandments for length of days and years of life and peace. They will add to you. Verse 3 goes on, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. I would summarize this by saying, hold fast to Christ, and he will grant good success. Even though, again, Christians are not immune from difficulties, Christians are 12 times more likely to have satisfying marriages than non-Christians. 12 times. It's not even close. And it doesn't mean that every once in a while one spouse would look at another spouse and say, what's wrong with us? But they find ways of being married and relating to one another and most of the time fixing their problems. I remember speaking with my father about this not too terribly long before I got married. And he made a really good observation. First of all, he said, Don, you've got a real good gal there in Jane, and you need to take care of her. But he also said, there will be days when the two of you can't hardly see eye to eye. And he was right about that. And the ones of you that are laughing know how right he was about that. And then he said this. He said, when you can't see eye to eye, then look in the eye of Jesus and see how Jesus would have you care for her. That was good advice. That was good advice. And Christians handle their money better. They handle their health issues better. In fact, Christians handle everything better because the Word of God is written by the Creator of us. He knows how we ought to live so the life would go well for us. So hang on, hold fast to the words of this testimony. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you may find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Life goes better when walked with Jesus Christ in the light of God's Word. Hold fast, align yourself with the commandments, and trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is a much loved verse. A lot of people can say this almost as quickly as they can say John 3:16. And there's a good reason for that, because there's so much wonderful truth packed up in it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. Trust. You lean into Christ and you ask Him to be the one that holds you up. Some men trust in their money, and if their money goes away, then what do they have to trust in? Some people trust in their governments, and if their governments end up being corrupt, what do they have to trust in? Some people trust in their jobs, and if their jobs go away, what do they have to trust in? In fact, I could go down the line and I could list for you all of the different things that people say they trust in, and each one of those pillars could be knocked down without any trouble at all, save one. You trust in the Lord, and He will never get knocked down. Whatever the circumstances of your life, whatever the questions you might face, whatever the difficulties may arise, you trust in the Lord with all your might. You stand with Him. And lean not in your own understanding. It has taken me now 67 years to get somewhat close to not thinking I know much about life. At least in far as I can figure it out. And that ought to get an amen from everybody that's lived for a while. If you think you've got life all figured out, think again. But you know someone who does have it figured out, and His name is Jesus. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Trust is just keeping on and just walking another step along the way. And frankly, what else are you going to do? But it is not just aimless wandering, it is purposeful walking along a path. That there is my Savior beckoning to me to come to Him, and I just walk towards Him. And along the way, I have life that surrounds me, sometimes with grave difficulties, and I just keep walking a straight road towards Him. And the Lord has ways of saying, "Now you got off and I want you to go this way." Circumstances can deal us uncertainties and we have to refix our eyes on Him. But the Christian particularly is supposed to be looking up towards Jesus and walking in the paths that He establishes. It doesn't mean that they will be bereft of problems. But it means that you've got a Savior that'll help you walk through them. And that one day when you reach the end of your path, there'll be a hand that grabs hold of yours and it will lift you from these days into the next days. And as I tell you often, eye has not seen nor ear heard what the Lord has in store for those who love Him. So I can say, even though I know the troubles of life can be hard pressing, I don't want to minimize them at all. But compared with knowing Christ, we can say they are light and momentary. Don't trust anyone else. Don't lean in to your own understanding. Trust Him and lean into His Word. Oh, the world seems like they're so wise. Part of the reason they seem wise is because they walk in an unreliable arrogance in life. So the movie star that wants to tell you how to live your life apart from God, but because they have all of the looks and the influence and the money, people want to look at them and they want to say, they must know what they're talking about. How else could they have come to this? I would far rather have the influence of an elderly lady that I knew in our first church serving. She was at that time in her late 80s, and she was a delightful person to know. And she had been through heartache. She'd been, by the time I knew her, a widow for 40 years because her husband was taken early from her. Before he died, they had had three children. All three of them died of an illness of one kind or another. She was living on a threadbare kind of an income, just getting by. Oh, but when you talk to her and you started speaking to her about who Jesus was and how good He was, she would light up and she would tell you how good she had it, because she knew her Savior. That, my friends, is wisdom. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Discovering how to live well should lead us to a condition of humility. Not wise in our own eyes, not pride, but the humility to say, my Lord knows best for me. It is said that the Lord can use no one greatly until He has hurt them deeply. Getting hurt by things takes edges off that makes us more useful. When I talk to young pastors, and I have occasion to do that, one of the things that I'd like to help them do is to learn a little bit more humility, because young pastors seem to think, not you, Daniel, I'm not talking about you. Young pastors seem to think that they know everything, that there isn't a theological problem that can't be solved, that there's not a life issue that cannot be guided and direct. You live a little longer and you start realizing that theology is terribly important, but a relationship with Christ is much more important. And it is theology that leads you to that, not the other way around. I listen to some Christians sometimes, you know, as a pastor. And they tell me all about all the plans, all the things that they've figured out, and I think you need to live a little longer. Because as you discover that you're not so wise, the pressure of being wise and solving all the world's problems sort of falls away from you. And that is refreshing. It is something I think of with a little bit of humor now. But I thought it was a little more serious back when. That those of you who think you know everything are annoying to those of us who do. Yeah. I hope I'm not annoying to you. I hope you appreciate, I know that life is, it's not all a well-packaged walk. But have the humility to receive it as a gift from God the way it is. And walk in it according to the directions He would give. And in doing so, take the pressure off of yourselves to resolve everything. And let that be refreshing to your soul. I wish I had learned a little bit more humility a little earlier in life, but I'm glad for where the Lord has me and where the Lord's taking me. And I'm glad for where the Lord has you and where He's taking you. And turn away from evil. The wisdom of the world has nothing to do with the cross of Christ that ought to turn us to Him. It is refreshing. It is healing to learn humility. Discovering how to live well has, in this passage anyway, four key points. It is not a universal thing to say that everything will always go according to the perfect plan that you have. But it is always true to say that the Lord has a plan for your life, and walking with Him is a good walk. And discovering wisdom helps us live well. It is a fact that we live longer, that we have generally longer, better marriages, that we have, on the whole, better health, and that our emotional standings are improved. You can't argue that. And so I call you, if you would like that life that's lived well, do not forget the teaching. Align yourself with the mitzvah. Hold fast in love and faithfulness to Jesus Christ. Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. Be not wise in your own eyes. Humbly walk with your Savior. There are, I know, other things that could be added to this list, but these four are pretty good. It wouldn't hurt just to start with them and start asking the Lord to work them in your life. Align with the mitzvah, the commands of God. Hold fast in love and faithfulness. Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. Turn away from evil and humbly seek Him. This isn't intended to be a rah-rah kind of speech this morning. I believe it needs to be a more settled kind of thing than that. Because rah-rah speeches wear out by the time lunch is over with. But if you took these four things home with you, you would do well. So, what are you taking home? Align with the mitzvah, with commandments of God. Hold fast to the teachings. Trust in the Lord. And humbly walk with Christ. Let me do it one more time, just in the hope that you might get through the day with it. But certainly, write them down here so that you can refresh your memory about it. Align with the mitzvah. Hold fast to the teachings. Trust in the Lord. And humbly walk with Christ. I'd love to hear from you about how that process is going. I'd love to know from you the benefits of walking according to these bits of wisdom. I'm thankful the Lord has put them in front of us today. I trust He will help us all walk with them in wisdom. Heavenly Father, thank You for this message. It's not one that necessarily is here to stir us emotionally, but it is to settle us volitionally so that we might indeed align ourselves with Your commandments, that we might indeed hold fast to Your teaching, so that we might indeed trust in You with all our heart, and we might indeed humbly walk with You. We pray You'd help us do these things, and in so doing, teach us how to live well. Amen.